Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for a little fantasy football with our friend Joe Bartel from RotoWire Fantasy Sports. He joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Mr. Bartel, how are you today?
Doing all right. I guess the Packers being on bye means I don't have to get disappointed by bad coaching decisions for a third consecutive week, so that's good. But I'll be honest with you guys, and I think everyone who is in a decent amount of fantasy leagues this year, this has to be one of the bleakest overall weeks that I can remember, with as many big-name guys out. Of course, a bunch of people on bye as well, affecting us in Packerland in particular. It's going to be bad, and for my 17 teams, it's really ugly. So it has been a very frustrating morning trying to cipher through all that stuff.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson, who appears is not going to play this week. What does that mean for everybody that has Baltimore Raven players going into this one?
Yeah, really tough. The assumption, you're right, they haven't officially ruled out Lamar, if they have.
Yeah, he's recently, out. He's not playing.
I mean, the DMP throughout the full week, I expect he's not going to play next week either. And, I mean, really, it's Mark Andrews and Zay Flowers and then Derrick Henry. You're still playing Derrick Henry, and with all the other receiver injuries this week, you might still have to play Zay Flowers. I think Mark Andrews can be confidently taken out of the lineup. And I don't have any degree of faith that Cooper Rush can execute any version of the offense, much less the Ravens offense. That feels foolish to me as a backup signing quarterback. And I never really understood why they did that. So in my mind, I think it's Derrick Henry basically exclusively that you want to play. Now, if you are of the belief that game script is like an actionable thing, that you can project a game script, and I'll explain why I don't think so in just a second. A guy like Justice Hill, like if Cooper Rush is really struggling, you're trying to negate that pass rush to the Texans, you do a bunch of screen passes to Justice Hill, maybe he catches like a 3 for 25, whatever. I mean, it's a bleak 5.5 PPR points, but you could do a whole lot worse at the running back position. The only reason I say you can't project that is because I thought last night the Niners were going to be just annihilated by the Rams and that you could play Blake Corum based off the game script. He should get a bunch of carries because the Rams should be up by double digits at halftime. And we have watched that here in the state many times where the game script was supposed to matter and never did. So I'm not really eager to bet on that. And I think if you're saying Justice Hill gets more involved from the Ravens' perspective because they just need something else besides Derrick Henry to do it, like I get that, but it is bleak in Baltimore.
You know, Joe, I had a girl had a quandary to deal with going into last night's game. She had Matthew Stafford going in that game against the Niners, depleted offense. And then she had Jaden Daniels coming back off of a game with injury against the Chargers, it looks like. And the Chargers, obviously, even though they lost last week, still a formidable team. She's like, what would you do? I said, they're both pretty good defenses. I said, but my belief is if an offense is depleted on one side, I'm always going to play as many guys as I can on the other team, assuming that the other team is going to win that matchup. That didn't happen, but that was my logic. She played Stafford. Stafford got her like 33 points. Is she going to look back at this and regret it, or do you think Jaden Daniels does that or more?
I don't think she's going to look back and regret that she got quarterback 2 performance in the entire week, even if Jaden Daniels somehow does the impossible and scores more than that. I wouldn't have recommended that logic. I guess that's why you ask you, who seems to be on it more than I am, at least at this point. And, you know, Jaden Daniels coming back from injury against the Chargers defense, no Terry McLaurin, possibly no Debo either. I haven't checked recently, but I know he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. That's a really tough spot. So in a way, like, I get it. I think the reason you have Jaden Daniels is because you don't have to be in the spot week to week, and that he was injured, maybe it forced fantasy managers to have to kind of look for other options out there. Stafford ended up being a great call, obviously. And I think Jaden Daniels, from a rushing perspective, still gives you a floor that you're very comfortable with, especially with at least three stars on bye. I guess maybe two if you don't want Michael Penix, but certainly Jordan Love and Caleb Williams. And then Lamar injured, Joe Burrow injured. I mean, 33 points, if that's not one of the top overall this week, I will be stunned. I'm expecting a whole lot of low point totals for week five.
I'm a Colts fan and a Packers fan. I've been saying I'm not sure I'm buying Daniel Jones, but where are we in fantasy at this point? Because, I mean, they play the Raiders this week, and that Colts offense has been moving. And, again, that's the thing, too, with this Colts offense. Is it real, or is this thing going to flame out eventually?
I mean, it could. I guess I'm just done pretending like we need to project as if it will. When that happens, or if that happens, we'll see it, and then we'll adjust accordingly. But for right now, Daniel Jones is a quarterback one, and I thought the first couple weeks of the season when he's falling in for one-yard touchdowns over Jonathan Taylor, that's not something that gets repeated very often. But back-to-back what? I mean, we're seeing close to 300 passing yards. That's going to be something that I expect happens not on a routine basis, but that's where the Colts are at right now in their schedule, especially in a favorable AFC South, I think will dictate Daniel Jones being right up there the rest of the season. Again, no Jordan Love, no Caleb Williams, no Joe Burrow, no Lamar Jackson. There's a number of reasons why you're playing Daniel Jones anyway, but even if every one of those guys is healthier, not on bye, I think you are very comfortably going ahead and using Daniel Jones on a week-to-week basis.
Where are we at on running backs? As far as guys like Omarion Hampton, the rookie, who because of injury now gets his bigger role, are you all in on having that guy playing every week?
Yeah, I thought this was going to go a different direction. Like, oh, no Trey Benson, so I had to get the Cardinals backfield with Mar DiMercado and Michael Carter. I spent
no
3 hours.
No chance I'm taking either one of those cats.
Yeah, well, good for
no
you that
chance.
You're in a position that you can do that. I had to decide between Alec Pierce and Amari DiMercado, and now Pierce got ruled out again. So, la-di-da-di-da, that you're in a better league than me where you drafted so much better enough at injuries, I don't have a choice. And I have to imagine some people are in that spot. But the Amari and Hamptons of the world, great. I mean, like, yeah, we're talking about, in my mind, top five running back rest of the way, maybe Kyren Williams, James Cook. I think they're up there, obviously, but I think Amari Hampton with that workload. And more importantly, until, and I think this is very true, until the Chargers trade for another running back, I think Jerome Ford in particular makes sense, you're going to have Amari Hampton be the ball carrier, the pass catcher, the pass blocker. He will be everything to that offense. So in my mind, Amari Hampton like is almost a you can't touch. Like, I would not consider him a trade for anything.
Talking about young guys, a guy that everybody loved in college, I think probably fell by fan perspective because they loved watching him play, but now has come on for the Giants. That's Cam Scatterbo.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about Cam Scatterbo because the personality, and you hear some stuff from around the league, like, how does that work as a day three guy to have the attitude and ego that Cam Scatterbo does? Well, when Tyrone Tracy, the nominal starter, gets injured for a month, I mean, you could just kind of walk right in and say, yeah, I own the place. And he's done well. Now, the volume is kind of propping up his fantasy total. I think Jackson Dart this week is a totally fine streamer, but look at the rest of the next four games afterwards, two against the Eagles, one against the Niners, one against the Broncos. I would assume Jackson Dart will struggle in every one of those. And if that's the case, Cam Scatterbo could get all the volume he wants, but he's going to be in a tough spot too. In full point PPR leagues, you're still fine with it. And again, with as many injured options that are just kind of cutting away at things plus the buys, you have to be ecstatic to have round eight Cam Scatterbo. But I do think his limitations are a bit more obvious for the next month of the season with the Giants.
Where are we at on Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Bartella of RotoWire Fantasy Sports? Because this guy was catching a lot of flack in the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, I'll default to guys that do this way smarter than me. I listen to the Athletic podcast. Robert Mays and company do a fantastic job. And actually, in the offseason, this is a question I was asking myself too, because we know Marvin Harrison was basically touted as a can't-miss prospect. Yep. And what happened his rookie year when so many other rookies, including that year, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, thrived. And the guys from the Athletic podcast were suggesting that Marvin Harrison was being far too often used as deep crosser routes, kind of corner routes. And the throws that the Cardinals were expecting Kyler Murray to make, either Murray couldn't do, or the routes that Marvin Harrison was running, were not going to be in a good position to catch a lot of those balls. So whereas you see Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers be volume pass catchers, the Cardinals, and I think this is an indictment on Drew Petzing, I want to be clear, this is not a Marvin Harrison issue, seem to want that volume to go to the running backs and, more importantly, to Trey McBride. So Marvin Harrison's just being the Christian Watson, so to speak, to clear out things for everyone else underneath. That feels like the worst way to use a generational prospect, and I do think it's affected Marvin Harrison's confidence. Now, we saw it last Thursday, and really he was able to redeem himself in the second half, but I mean, I was never drafting Marvin Harrison where his ADP was, that mid-third round range. There's a whole lot of other guys I liked instead. And I don't see how this changes until this offseason when the Cardinals realize how dumb their coordinator is and fire him.
Oof. That's a little harsh, don't you think? How dumb the coordinator is.
I could sit there on the phone and tell you that and act all high and mighty, but you're right. I mean, I probably can't. You should be using Marvin Harrison differently. That's not a crazy statement, and I think most people in the NFL would say that too. So that's where I come across a little bit strong.
All right, you already talked about that guy that nobody's going to pick up but you. But outside of that one guy in Arizona, who else do you like this week for people that are desperate?
Yeah, Amari DiMercato and Michael Carter is going to be the fantasy conundrum that nobody wants to deal with, and apparently you are going to just be high and mighty about it, and I don't get to have that benefit. So plus to you, I'm very happy for you that you don't have to deal with that. Unfortunately, I do. I mean, it's going to be really tough. I was debating then between, okay, if it's not Amari DiMercato, or Michael Carter, again, former Jet, who I think actually is the one that wins that Cardinals backfield or gets more usage. Then there's Bucky Irving, who's out. And in that instance, you're going to see probably a combo of Rashad White, who I think will do well enough to be able to warm play. And then Sean Tucker, who's going to kind of platoon and cut into that workload. Chuba Hubbard's going to be out this week as well, too. So Rico Dowdle becomes in the spot. Ugh. And I've seen some people pick up Trevor Etienne. Don't do that. The Panthers are bad enough. We don't have to go down to their third string running back. And, I mean, overall, I think the receivers, one of them has been on a fringe for me, and I hope we just do the easy thing, is Jalen Waddle just kind of sliding right into that Tyreek Hill role after an unfortunate Monday night injury.
Right.
If Mike McDaniel can just use Jalen Waddle like Tyreek Hill, we're all going to be better for it. And yet I'm slightly nervous that Mike McDaniel, the average genius that he is, will think Malik Washington needs to be more involved in the passing game and Jalen Waddle gets phased out. I don't know. I would really not want to bet on it or have to rely on it fantasy-wise, but I think Jalen Waddle, it just seems like the path of least resistance. I'll play him this week, hoping that Mike McDaniel agrees with me.
There he is, Joe Bartel, RotoWire Fantasy Sports. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. See you.
There he is, Joe Bartel, Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Up next, follow the money. Austin Herdinia, Pottawatomie Sportsbook Manager. Straight ahead on Wisconsin Sportsbook Day. Wisconsin Sportsbook. Do you think they would want to change the name of the show?
I don't know about
Sportsbook
that.
Daily? No?
Doesn't flow as nicely.
It's Wisconsin. It sounded all right to me. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM at 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. See Sparky Fiverr here. Charlie Usen over there, other side of the glass. Hope everybody is having a good Friday. It's a playoff Friday, everybody. A playoff Friday. Now, for me, this is a big deal because this Brewers baseball team needs to win a World Series before I die. Like, this is just something that needs to happen at the end of the day for me. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, this needs to happen. So we'll see if it happens this year, next year, another year. The Bucks won one while I was here and alive and got to witness that. I need to see one from the Milwaukee Brewers. Time now for the Follow the Money segment brought to you by Austin Herdinia and the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, Pottawatomie Sportsbook Manager. He joins us now. Thanks for coming on, Austin. How are you doing?
Excellent. Yeah, like you just said, the Bucks won one in our lifetime. I never thought I'd see that happen, but now the Brewers, this is the closest that I feel like we could get it done. I'm really excited about the playoff run.
It's going to be fun. Let's start with baseball. Follow the money. Now, yeah. For those people that missed last week's first segment of this Follow the Money segment, this is really not telling you necessarily who to pick. I mean, we'll let Austin make a pick or two here before we get out of here, but it's mainly telling you where people are betting their money when they go to the Potawatomi Sportsbook. This isn't any other casino's bets. This isn't online bets. This is just how people are betting in Milwaukee at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So let's talk about where is the most money right now going into game one of the NLDSs.
So I'll tell you what, right now it's on the Brewers, not just for the game, but also the series. Right now the price is Brewers minus 125 for the series. Comeback price is Cubs plus 105. And then for the actual game itself, game one, right now it sits at Brewers minus 155 with Peralta on the mound, and the Cubs are at plus 130, total of 7.5, juice to the under. Experts are thinking it's going to be, you know, a lower scoring game, just like a lot of these playoff games have been, with the home team Brewers being the favorite. So it's looking good for a game one.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? I'll tell you what, Cubs are coming in with a lot of momentum. I always worry about these playoff teams that have, days off, several days off before they come back for a game. But this is a shorter – the schedule that Major League Baseball did this year, they really tightened it up where, you know, it's three games at home for that series. We know the Cubs had all three at home, no travel, no days off really. Today's the only day off the Cubs have had. I'm feeling good. I feel like it's not going to be an issue. I saw some video yesterday of, you know, Pat Murphy shared with the Brewers doing some scrimmaging and teams having fun. They're staying, you know, light mood. I'm feeling good about the Brewers. And I'll tell you what, a lot of our bettors are as well. And I pulled some tickets for you. I know we talked about, some of the bigger tickets that we've had right on the Brewers this year. So let me share a few of them with you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Let's go.
So for the Brewers to win the National League, we have a bet here of 500 to win 10,500 at 20-1. Yeah, that's just to win the National League. Now, to win the World Series, we have a bet of 50-1 odds placed back in April, $100 to win 5,100.
Oh.
That was, you know, shortly after the Brewers got off to a rough start. And then back in March, we have some bets here, Brewers to win it all, 500 to win 20,500. 150 to win 6,150. But yeah, it's, you know, I went through these tickets. There are so many just like this. If you're there, we must have hundreds of bets of people that bet like 25 to 50 bucks on it. It's going to be rough. If the Brewers win it all, I'm hoping to still have a job. I'll just say that. You know, are you a wrestling fan at all?
I used to be back in the day. I don't follow it like you all followed it anymore, well, but I used to be, yeah.
You remember The Rock, right?
Yeah.
So if the Brewers win it all this year, we're going to be paying out millions and millions of dollars to our bettors. It is going to be rough. Just to win the National League. If the Brewers win the National League, it's going to cost us a lot of money.
Oh, goodness.
But as much as it's going to cost us money, as a fan, I still really want it to happen. I really do.
Right.
I want this parade. I want to have a nice parade down Milwaukee.
And they downtown. Better do it differently than the Bucks. The Bucks blew a golden opportunity that I will never understand. How in the world do you have a parade and not have it end at Summerfest and have bands playing and have the whole thing going? It didn't end. They didn't win in December. My God, it was the middle of summer. You couldn't have figured that one out. Like, I don't know. To me, it would have made all the sense in the world to have that thing end at the Summerfest grounds or at State Fair and open up State Fair and let everybody party in June at State Fair.
I hope in a couple of weeks we're going to be talking about doing the parade the right way.
Yes. And now, again, it's colder outside, so who knows how cold it's going to be by the time this thing ends. Maybe it doesn't make as much sense. But I'm telling you, if you have it outside, serve hot chocolate and all that other stuff, people will come. They will most definitely come if they win the World Series. Talking with Austin Herdinia, Follow the Money. He's the sportsbook manager over at Potawatomi Sportsbook joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the NFL. No Packers this week. They're on bye. So the most money cannot be on the Packers this week. So where is the most money bet right now?
I'll tell you what. They're on the team the Packers just tied with.
Oh.
They're on the Dallas Cowboys, minus 2.5. Against the New York Jets. It's a game where I don't know. It's one of those lines where I'm kind of surprised by that. I thought the Cowboys would be a little bit more of a favorite. I know they're a little banged up. They're still playing without CeeDee Lamb. But the Jets are the Jets. I think it's going to be a hard time any week that we really get many people betting on the Jets. So I'm not surprised the Cowboys are number one. And then number two, we have Minnesota Vikings -3.5. Against Cleveland Browns. That's the early game in England, Sunday morning, 8:30. Our sportsbook's open at 8 a.m., so come on in. Come watch the games. Get your bets in. Vikings -3.5. I know they're playing without three starting offensive linemen, and they're on their third-string center. So it's going to be rough for them when the Browns have probably the best defensive line in football.
But this is the one thing. We start talking about where people are making their bets. And we go back to that Cowboys thing.
Yeah.
Isn't it just Packer fans thinking, well, they're pretty good, man. They scored 40 against our defense. Let me go throw a bunch of money at Dallas. Is that all it is, or is there more to it?
I think that's definitely part of it.
Yes.
The line being -2.5 as well, being under that key number of 3, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, if I'm betting -2.5, I'm kind of betting like them just to win. I think a lot that kind of gets in a lot of people's minds, I think. But yeah, I think more importantly, they're playing the Jets. I think a lot of people just think the Jets are pretty bad.
Now, once you get into the season, I'm assuming you're still taking bets on Packers to win the division and so forth as those numbers are changing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, Packers to win the division. We are very, very lopsided on that. We're very lopsided on anything Packers, really. Division, NFC, Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath if the Packers win it all, same way that it is for the Brewers. It just is.
Hold on. I got to follow up that. And I know you don't have this in front of you because I wasn't prepared to ask this question. But is it the same thing going on with the Bucks? Because the Bucks, they're not picked to go, you know, finish top 3, top 4 right now in the association. Their first preseason game is Monday. I just wondered, are they as heavily bet on as the other two?
So I'll tell you what, I get notifications on my phone anytime like a larger bet comes in that's going to potentially, you know, cost us a lot of money. And a few times this week we've had bets on the Bucks to win it all come in. So anything could happen. I am not as high on the Bucks as I am on this Brewers team. But yeah, it's still something where the local people around here are definitely putting their money on the Bucks. They're the most bet team to win it all in basketball so far this year.
Austin Herdania, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait for the leadoff show tomorrow, extended from Kelly's Bleachers on Blue Mountain from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the game tomorrow as well with Tommy Wirtz. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bargy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.